This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland's primary election is taking place June 24th. Next week, we're speaking with the Democrats running for governor. This week, we're talking with the four men vying for the Republican nomination. Charles Lawler is one of them. He's a Marine Corps reservist and a businessman. He worked as the general manager in Maryland for Syntus Corporation, which provides uniforms and products to business. He lives in Newburgh in Charles County, and he joins me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are you running for governor?
I'm running for governor because I'm very concerned, as many of your listeners should be, with the economic direction of our state, as well as the social direction of our state, specifically where it comes to how partisan politics continues to segregate the voting population. In fact, the entire citizenry, if you ask me. I'm running for Maryland because I believe in a new way forward. And that simply means we can find solutions amongst each other across partisan lines that are best for all Maryland citizens. When you look at our economy as an example, we had over 4,000 small businesses that left our state, going to other areas across our country, taking with them about $5.5 billion in tax revenue.
4,000 small businesses in what period of time?
In 8 years, since the incoming of this new administration. By and large, these businesses, these small businesses and manufacturing companies have left because they've just been taxed to death, Sheila. They can't find or make or sustain necessary profits to hire and bring people on board. They want more employees because they want more innovation. I'm a GM of a location of 212 employees. I felt the same pinch just looking at my property taxes and the unemployment taxes, the labor. It's out of control.
Before I ask you more about taxes, tell
Please.
Me what specific you're usually described in the media as being a businessman.
Yes.
What is your work now?
Currently,
yeah.
I have a consultant business personally, but prior to 3 years ago, I was running my plant in Landover, Maryland, and I went on sabbatical from Cintas to run for public service.
Okay, you propose to phase out the state income tax on individuals and small businesses.
Over 5 years.
You plan to reduce the corporate income tax rate from 8.25% to 5%.
About a 41% decrease.
That's money that goes into the general fund to operate the state government. So how would you make up the difference?
Well, the beauty of it is, Sheila, over the long haul of 5 years, there won't be much of a difference to make up. And let me put that in perspective. Since 8 years prior to now, we've increased spending by $10 billion, from $28 billion to currently $38.9, almost $39 billion. That's a 36% increase. If we would simply limit the growth of government, we don't have to sacrifice essential services. We don't have to stop what we're doing. All we have to do is limit the growth of government. And in essence, instead of growing at $2 billion a year or so, we only grow at $500 million to $1 billion a year. We would recognize enough savings just in 3 years to pay for the entire phase out of the personal income tax if we assume the same current revenues that are coming in this fiscal year. But even more so than that, we're going to look at taking a look at every tax, every tax bill that's been passed over 8 years. We're going to run external audits on them to ensure where the money's being taxed and its initial intent by law where the money was supposed to be going, that it's actually getting there. And when we find those essences and areas where they're not getting there, which we're going to find a lot of when you talk about 84 new taxes over 7 years, we're going to retire those bills altogether, return that money again back into the general fund.
The tax plan on your website already calls for repealing recent gas tax increases,
yes.
Stormwater fees,
yes.
The so-called rain tax,
yes.
Estate tax, eliminating the estate tax.
And the death tax.
And quite a few other, and getting rid of quite a few regulations.
Yes.
That's before any of this analysis that you say you're planning to do.
Well, absolutely. But keep this in mind, Sheila. Let's make sure we're fair and honest. When it comes to the rain tax or the stormwater runoff, that doesn't come back to the general fund. That money stays in counties, and counties decide where they want to take and place that money. So I just want to make sure that we're clear. When it comes to this gas tax, it's supposed to go to the Transportation Trust Fund or the Transportation Fund, which we use for our roads, et cetera. However, if we keep robbing that Transportation Trust Fund every year the way we have for the past decade or so, it'll never be sustainable to build our roads. They'll simply keep finding another tax to pass on citizens to make up for shortfalls when they're using that money for other areas. The right question for us to ask is, where is that money currently going? For example, why did we have to, and not to barrage your listeners with even more numbers, But why do we have to rob $200 million from the pension funds from state-level employees and teachers just to cover a shortage of a purple line we're trying to build to connect Montgomery County and Prince George's County? That purple line was estimated to cost $1.2 billion. That's initially when we built the thing, when we said we're going to build the thing. After $20 million in survey analysis and projections, now that same purple line is going to cost us $2.2 billion. However, the federal government is still only on the hook for less than, I don't know, $500 million in revenue. So, I mean, I'm throwing those numbers out there because the amount of money that's being currently wasted, if we would simply find a way to stop wasting the revenues, make sure that we run external audits on these current tax bills, I guarantee you there's more than enough money on $39 billion to make sure we don't lose one essential service. Take this last point, $200 million that we just wasted on the rollout of the Affordable Health Care Act and the website, wasted it. Now we have to start all over? Where'd the money come that we could just throw away $150 to $200 million, blink an eye, and change direction?
It's Charles Lawler, Marine reservist and businessman who lives in Southern Maryland and is running in the Republican primary for governor. On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. The Affordable Care Act you just mentioned, embraced by the O'Malley administration.
Yes.
How would you deal with Obamacare as governor?
We have to ask the right questions, and here's how I would deal with it. The question we want to answer is, how do we ensure that every Marylander that wants health care can have affordable health care? How do we provide it? And there's three main ways we're going to do it, and I'll make it short and sweet. Number one, we're going to allow for competition from smaller health care companies regionally across state lines. That will, in essence, begin to lower
insurance across state lines.
Absolutely. That will begin to lower the cost. We're also going to take the healthcare industry as it stands and ensure that every citizen knows what they're paying for every product and every service within the healthcare industry. The healthcare industry is one of the few industries that you don't even know what you're paying for an x-ray. You don't even know what you're paying for tests. You don't even know what you're paying for the medication you're getting. And so after it's billed to your insurance company, and then they cover the cost through secondary billing. This has a way of escalating cost out of control. We're going to make sure those costs are posted. So as soon as you walk in and ask for an x-ray, you'll know the difference between one x-ray at this hospital and another, so you can make the right financially conscious decision, which will help drive down costs. The third and final way, meaningful tort reform. Here's what I'm saying to you, Sheila. We're not going to look at this and play partisan politics with it. If the Affordable Health Care Act doesn't work for our state, we're going to establish our own private exchange. We're going to drive costs down, and we're going to help to ensure that everyday Marylanders can afford health care here in the state of Maryland.
Maryland, as you know, is a heavily Democratic state.
It
about
is.
2-to-1 party registration. Democrats have a big majority in both houses of the legislature.
Yes.
No indication they're going to lose that in this year's election. So as a Tea Party Republican, how would you plan to work across the aisle as governor?
That's interesting. As a Tea Party Republican, let me say this. As a Marine officer, as a businessman, as a father of four daughters, a beautiful grandson married for 21 years, as a concerned citizen, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm already beginning to reach across the aisle, specifically to Democratic constituencies as well as Republican constituencies. I already have Democrats for Lawler organizations set up in Baltimore City, Prince George's County, and Montgomery County. I'm not going to already have them. I just received one email from another Baltimore Cityan that's on the bridge between whether or not she's going to support Gansner or me for governor and wants to have a sit-down discussion with me. I was at a governor's forum yesterday, a heavily Democratic forum, and left there with Democrats signing up for us to work with us, as well as, get this, they wrote us almost $1,000 in checks. We're reaching across the aisle to Democrats as well as Republicans to bring people together. The mantra's simple, no more partisan politics. What's right for everyday Marylanders?
I really appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you.
Charles Lawler, he's running for the Republican nomination for governor. His running mate is author and political activist Ken Timmerman. We're speaking with all the major candidates in the Republican primary this week. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on 88.1.